And again, I just want to take an opportunity to say to each and every one of you, happy and blessed new year. We've made it through 2020. God has walked with us throughout it. While the world was in chaos, we were walking with the Lord and being blessed as He promised that He would protect us. So we just come to start a brand new year, a brand new beginning. And we want to celebrate today as we come together. Yesterday, I just want to share this with you. Yesterday in our men's group, we took and we were having a discussion, and it just so happened that we took out our calendars as we were planning. And one of the men quoted this life lesson for us. He said this. He said that the calendar does not control the change. And he hesitated and paused for a moment, and then he said, you do. I want to repeat that. The calendar does not control the change. You do. As we learned in 2020, or should I say, we should have learned, that we are in constant state of change. There are so many things that we no longer do. What we did prior to the start of pandemic, and you know, the things that we did may never be the same, but God is in control, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. Now, if you want examples, let's look at how we shop. Look at how we communicate, how we meet, how we greet one another, and even how we worship. I remember there was a time that if you walked into a store or a bank or something with a mask on, they would ask you to leave, or they wouldn't let you in at all. But now it's mandatory that you have a mask on or they won't serve you. So therefore, times have changed. It has all changed. Did you ever imagine scheduling a Zoom call to have dinner with your family or to see your doctor? Not in a million years. But look at us now. Change. Change, you say? Never. I won't. You keep on saying, I will not change. But I want to tell you something that it is biblical, that you will change. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 foretells the change in our life.
To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace.
Oh, there is a time for all things. Change is something that many of us have trouble with, but is truly a part of life. And whether we embrace it or not, it will happen. The title for our message today is simply A New Year, A New Beginning. Our scripture is taken from Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
And our focal verse for today is taken from verses 15 and 16, which reads, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." John Maxwell suggested that we make only a handful of important decisions during our lifetimes. The key to success is managing those decisions in our daily schedules. He wrote, "If we want to do something with our lives, then we must focus on today." Two questions we have to ask ourselves is, how do you win today? And how do you make today a great day instead of one that fails, that falls into pieces? You know, and I've shared with many of you that a lesson that I learned was, I used to get up every morning and tell God what my plans were for the day. And you know what? I'm sure that he would have a great laugh as he listened to me. But then I found a well-kept secret, a missing piece. The secret to your success, listen closely, the secret to your success is determined by your daily agenda. When we make Jesus our Lord and our Master, He assigns our work, and success is not found in the results or achievements. Success is simply doing what He appoints us day by day. Psalms 139 says this, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." You see, as we enter into a new year, let's look at seven ways on how to live on God's schedule. First, learn to say every morning, "Your agenda today, Lord, not mine. Your agenda today, Lord." Offer your body as a living sacrifice, saying, "Lord, this is the day that you have made. May your will be done today in my life, as it is done in heaven." As it is done in heaven. Your day, Lord. The second step is that when, you know, when I, in the early years, back when I was a youngster, well, not too young, I decided to make a weekly agenda, my plans. It was my first attempt to impose a schedule on my life. You know, there was a point that I was working three jobs. I had to keep track of what was going on. So I came up with this schedule. I made seven vertical columns on a piece of paper and threw horizontal lines to create the hours of the day. And then I shaded in my obligations so I knew where I was supposed to be at what time. And then I looked at what was left, asking myself, I needed to spend my remaining time doing the things that I wanted to do, not the things I had to do. This proved to be one of the best experiments I've ever conducted, and I'm still doing the same thing today. Yes, I still write out a schedule. My system is a little bit more sophisticated now. You see, back then we didn't have computers. We didn't have applications on our phones. As a matter of fact, we didn't have cell phones that we could carry around with all our schedules on it. But you see, Psalms 90 tells us, and I'm paraphrasing, to number our days that we may present ourselves to the Lord a heart of wisdom. The third thing that we must do is accept interruptions. Now, this is the third of the seven ways on how to live on God's schedule. Having established discipline, a disciplined schedule, and minimizing interruptions. Yeah, but you know what? Interruptions do occur. And it frequently represents God's agenda for the day, not ours. You see, as you read through the Gospels and notice the ministry of Christ, how often do interruptions, the interruptions that he went through were actually his ministry. His agenda. Because he wanted to be with the people, and the people were never an interruption to him. The fourth thing that we have to look at as in the seven ways of how to live on God's schedule is to take disappointments as God's divine appointment. You see, a disappointment is God's way of showing us that he does not want us to do what we're doing. It's his way of decluttering our schedule. He's closing doors so that we can depend on him to open them. He opens not only doors, but he opens windows. And disappointments become his appointment for keeping us on his plan, not ours. Oh, somebody should be saying amen right now, because we do have a problem when it comes to keeping his schedule. You see, the other thing is this, that as we go about, the fifth way is to look for open doors. You see, we're so busy trying to work our schedule that we miss what God's putting right in front of us. We need to look for those opportunities to be a true minister of the Word of God. Each day, opportunities show up on either side of us. In Acts 17:7, Paul preached in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Those that happened to be there. He didn't call up so-and-so and so-and-so and this person and that person and say, meet me. Whoever was there is who he ministered to each and every day. That's what we're supposed to do. Let our lives be our ministry as we walk with Christ. Number six is that we have to remember that the little things we do are bigger than the great things we do, and we must learn the importance of the sacred ordinary. The sacred ordinary. Now that means that the ordinary things you do are just as important as the great things you do. You really do have to look and follow what God is telling you to do. You know, I have to tell you that there are times that, you know, just getting down on the floor and playing with a baby sometime may seem like a little thing to you, but what it instills in that child, what it instills in those around you. You know, I once had a boss, my middle son had broke his hip when he was 4, and I had to continue to work because my job depended on it, but he was in a hip cast. So he went to work with me every day, and I had a boss who actually took and gave up his office, and we would spread out his toys and everything, things to keep him entertained throughout the day. And he would lay there, and we got him a creeper so he could move around and everything. But one of the things that strikes me even to this day was the man who owned the company, who was a millionaire, would come in and he would lay on the floor and color with my son. You see, it's the little things in life that make an impression on others. It got to the point that we had drivers who would come in and they'd get down on the floor and watch TV with him. When he went to the ambulance base, people would come in. They couldn't work the schedule, but they came in and kept him company while I worked the schedule. God was in it all. And to this day, I'm just in awe of what God can do. You see, Colossians 3:17 says this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Need another example? Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9:10, which states these words of advice. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I want to leave you, 11 is number 7, is leave the undone in God's hands. Our final step is that after we have done our best, we have to leave the undone in God's hands. You see, years ago I discovered that one of the hardest aspects of life is the utter impossibility to do everything needed to be done in one day. Some of y'all just stopped and listened to me. I know y'all might be muted, but I know what your thoughts are. I can do everything. God, just add a couple more hours to my day. But you know what? I used to say that. But then I discovered a helpful verse in Acts 10:38, where Jesus Christ went around doing, he was doing good. Oh, and there was a whole lot for him to do. But what impressed me about this scripture was that it said good. It said good. It could have said everything, but it said doing good. You see, Jesus wasn't doing everything. You see, in his human person, he couldn't visit every village. He couldn't touch every person. He couldn't heal every sickness. And he couldn't witness to every soul. That was in his human form. But he simply finished the work the Father gave him and then left the undone to the Father's hands. Remember, I said in his human form. You see, the years of our lives are 70, or if by reason of strength they become 80, yet they are soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may present your heart of wisdom, redeeming the time because of the days are evil. You know, as I was studying for this message, I ran across this. A gentleman named John Hobbs wrote the following prayer. He said, "Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way, teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do." He wrote that back in 1877. You see, God's portioned out our work. He portioned it out day by day. And he assigns our duties as he sees fit. Now, we can live our lives day by day increments because God set them up. The Lord could have designed the solar system and the size of our planets so to make each day 48 hours or 48 months for that matter. But in his wisdom, he created each day exactly 24 hours. No more, no less. You see, many of us try to make our day more than 24 hours. I used to do it. I'm guilty. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm guilty. I used to try to cram 40 hours into 24, but I found it didn't work. We have to live our lives in day-by-day increments, the day that God created. Oh yeah, we can review the past and we can plan for the future, but we can only live our lives day by day. You know, one writer wrote, "Cheered by the presence of God, I will do each and every moment without anxiety, according to the strength which he shall give me. The work that his providence assigns me, I will leave the rest without concern. It is not my affair. I ought to consider the duty to which I am called each day as the work that God has given me to do, and to apply myself to it in a manner worthy of his glory, that is to say, in exactness and in peace." Finally, Anna Waring put it in this way. She said, "I love to think that God's appointment points my portion day by day. Events of life are in his hand. And I would only say, appoint them in thine own good time and in thine own best way." So as I close today, I want to leave you with this quote from Psalms 90 and 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Father, we just thank you. We praise you and glorify you, Lord, as you remind us, Lord God, that you are the one that sets our calendar. We may want to add things. We may want to stretch it into that 24 hours, but you have planned our day. You have put a time of rest in there. You have put a time of that we should be worshiping you. You have put a time for work. You have put a time for raising our children, Lord God, but it's still 24 hours. Lord, so we thank you that you reminded us, Lord God, that you are the one who's in control. Father, to you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.